The show that takes you home. The Homestretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Homestretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, no Facebook Live. We are in for a wild week here on the show. A lot of moving parts, more moving parts than a Golden State Warriors team. We will have Todd Lebo joining us in studio in just a minute. But for the rest of the week, we might have a show. We might not have a show. We're going to play it by ear. It's going to be interesting. Todd Lebo now in studio.
I'm only 2 minutes late, Sterling. I was on the phone in my office. Things happened.
You know what's funny? You're still like 7 minutes earlier than Briscoe.
Yeah.
Briscoe's never on time. It's actually incredible.
Never, never, never. Now I was on the phone and then bang. And then I was like, oh, hey, it's 3 o'clock. I better hustle down the hallway.
Yeah, you know,
we
even played the ESPN Sports Center top of the hour.
Did the whole thing.
Just for you.
Just for me. And to inform the people of what's going on.
And then I've not ran a board in so long.
No, you're good.
For a live show at least.
And we might even be on the air. Who knows?
Frankly, we are. I just checked. You just confirmed we are. I took the doors off my Jeep today.
That's not an easy thing.
It's not. And the older I've gotten, the harder it's been.
You didn't mash your fingers, did you?
I destroyed one. Mm. So the first door just pops right off. And I'm like, oh, we're in for a good time. This will be simple. It'll
be easy.
It's supposed
to be easy. It's like one pin or something. What is it?
I don't even have the pins. No. Don't even have pins. You literally just take it off.
You lift it.
It's heavy, but you just lift.
Well, you're strong.
With your legs. Yes. Bend with your legs. Don't
not
throw
with your back.
At you.
Not with your back.
So the first one comes off. I'm feeling good. Second one,
Which one, the left or the right one?
The driver's side. So the left one came off.
That's the cool one. That's the one you went off anyways.
Well, first off, I'm thinking about to drive with a mullet because one side on, one's off. Party on one side, safe on the other. I had half a can of WD-40 later. If anyone smokes near my car, it's going up in flames.
You haven't opened the passenger door as much, so it's a little tight. Is that the deal?
I guess so. I guess.
You got to make that an exercise. Just take it off once a month. You know what I mean? Take it off and just put it back in.
I'm doing it way more than once a month. I just don't do it in the wintertime.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Over the winter, once a month, just take it off and put it back.
Well, I looked in there, and you can see, because there's just a hole.
Yeah.
They just sit in these holes.
Little rusty.
Rusty. My whole car, it's nicknamed Rusty. I went to the dealership, or not the dealership, a muffler shop of all places.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get the converter fixed.
The catalytic converter?
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to take it
out. Someone try to steal yours?
No, but I'm going to take it out and put a pipe in. But
you go to the one right up here?
No, I can't say names.
Yeah, I got you. But the one right up here, there's a place that kind of does those things.
Give me your guy.
Well, it's not my guy. It's just right there at 119th. There's a place.
Well, we could be talking about the same place.
Very close to here.
But what they said was, don't do it because my car is so rusty.
You may break it.
Well, that's where he goes. He goes, we'll take it out. But the second we take it out, your entire, everything else is just going to be
a mess.
You're going to break all your bolts.
Hmm.
So
maybe you shouldn't mess with it.
So my car rusty. It's terminal.
It's okay.
We
still
can't,
running.
They said run it until it goes out, and I think it'll go forever. I'm holding out.
How many miles you got on it?
148,000.
Oh, you got plenty to go.
I mean, that's child's play.
Plenty.
Child's play.
You're getting 7-8 miles a gallon now with that?
Tops. Doors off, it might help. If I can get some headwinds behind me.
Oh, my gosh.
Pushing the Jeep forward.
It's a little scary.
What do you mean, with the doors off?
No, your Jeep itself is a little scary.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
It's fun, though.
I got a buddy who has one of those. It's a newer one, and we popped the top off and took the doors off. It was fairly easy because it was new and it's not rusted out.
Yeah, the old ones, though, they're it's an adventure. It hurts.
It should be a two-person thing on a lot of that stuff.
It should be, but I'm not going to have my girlfriend come out.
What
and
if she hurt her finger?
Hurt her finger.
Oh.
Throw her back out.
Yeah, her fingers are more important than yours.
Well, yeah, my hands look like this, mm-hmm. So hers can look like that.
Exactly.
Exactly. So she can have...
all of the real hard work you do with your job. Pushing these buttons
the
today.
The softest hands, butter soft over here.
Butter soft.
The only way they're callous is because of golf.
Yeah.
Only golf.
One of them because you have a glove on the other.
On one, yeah, of course.
One calloused hand.
Tommy two gloves.
You have one calloused hand and the golfer's tan. That's the way I know you work real hard.
Right here. I'm a lefty, so my right hand
is
just
white,
ghost Casper.
And your arm is red, and your other arm's entirely red.
Look, you can even
see.
Your
left hand is calloused. Your right hand is butter soft.
It's May 10th, and you can already see it starting to get a little golfer's tan in here.
Oh, my gosh. I had Chiefs mini camp stand outside tan yesterday. I didn't stay out for the whole practice because it was dumb.
Yeah. How was it besides being dumb?
It was hot and windy.
Yeah.
And what I gleaned from the little amount of time that I watched, when you're a rookie field goal kicker trying to make the team and the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour left to right, not a great look. You're not going to just nail them all.
No.
We saw this kid he started a kick outside left upright that barely went inside the pylon of the goalpost. It went so hard right, like a really bad slice for a right-handed golfer. And the quarterback's, you know, overthrowing by 5 yards, 10-yard patterns at the 10-yard line. So I was like, what can I gauge from this?
Harrison Butker feeling real good right now.
Yeah, I don't
really need
to see this, and I think the quarterbacks are solid on this team. I don't think you need to worry about these kids in camp.
You don't think Mahomes is
not threatened? But it was fun to have the kids in for mini camp and all that. And they'll have OTA starting in a couple of weeks. But I was outdoors, and the guys who are out there on the beat like every day, you know, our good friend Adam Teicher, from the Star, and you know, Jesse Newell, new Star reporter, Herbie Teope, Nate Taylor, and Sam McDowell stayed out there. Now they gave him trouble because he's a columnist now. They're like, oh, it's not the weekend. You're out here, huh? Showing up on Monday, hey, Sam? Because it was Saturday and Sunday, too. These guys stood out there and watched like all 6.5 hours of practice Saturday, Sunday, Monday, just because if you can, you need to.
Sure.
If that's your job. But literally the 15 minutes that you're allowed to watch. So I took a couple of videos with my friends hoping to get something worthwhile. All I got was dropped punts by like Trent McDuffie and Justin Ross. I'm like, I don't think I need
that. And neither of those guys are
I don't
want to
post
returners.
Those and have someone freak out, you know? So there's no, because I hate the freak out of here's a video.
Sure.
Who was it last year? Oh, this guy's huge and fat. Was it Lucas Niang or something?
Lucas Niang.
Oh, this guy's a monster fat
guy. What about Ja'Marr Chase when he was dropping passes and everyone goes, oh, he's done. He's not going to be – he's horrendous. And then, of course
– I wasn't going to post a video of Trent McDuffie dropping a punt. So I'm like, I'm not doing it because I don't want trouble because I'm not judging him.
First off, they're probably not going to even be the punt returners because you don't want one of your starting cornerbacks doing that. And Justin Ross?
No. With his spinal issue?
Yeah. You think he's going to be playing special teams?
No. No. So I was like, all right, that's the deal. I'm not posting any of these. And then I was like, dude, it's way too hot. I sunscreened up, and I had my big bucket hat on. But I said, I'm not standing out here.
Looking like a fisherman.
Yeah, looking for the big one. So I left. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not going to stand out here. And these guys stood out there the whole time. They came in.
They're troopers.
They were miserable.
They're troopers.
They used to be able to watch like regular season practice, and it was the worst. When they closed practice, you were like, okay, it means we don't have to stand out here. Is standing out there and watching a 2-hour Dick Vermeil practice, a 2.5-hour Dick Vermeil practice, and they would never let you get very close. You were always pretty far away. You know, there was 3 practice fields out there. If you've ever driven up Gate 5 of the stadium, you see the little building that looks like a football. Right behind those are practice fields. There were 3 fields, and then they would be practicing on the closest to the building, and they'd put you on these like 6 metal bleachers across the far field. You couldn't even see anything. So we're out here. What are you going to see? You know, and then you can't tweet or report anything that you see about formations or, you know, whatever. So the point is you just go out there looking for someone to get hurt. If they get hurt, then you're like, hey, this person got hurt. Okay.
And then you're sitting there being the ass rooting for someone. Well, you don't root for them, but either if you don't, then you're sitting there going, I've done nothing. Well, you got paid to do nothing, though.
Well, it's different if it's during training camp, you can actually see who's quote-unquote running with the ones or whatever, you know what I mean? Something like that. Of course, at training camp, they still say you can't tweet anything, although fans can sit there and tweet about everything they see.
Yeah.
I saw Travis Kelce throw a pass, you know. It's like, it's so dumb. But during this, there were 60 or 70 people, I don't know, 60 people out there, and there won't be 10 of them on the team. Most of these guys were going to get to keep their shorts and, you know, thank you.
It's a fun memory that, hey, I was there.
You got to be a professional football player, although you don't get paid. You got to be a professional football player, get a couple of nights free in a hotel room, you know, in Kansas City for a few days.
Sure.
When I was,
do you think
about an hour? They have a bus. They actually take the bus up into the airport, and so like you want to get on the bus because these guys don't have money to take an
sure.
Uber or whatever. Yeah, I can imagine someone got on the bus at 3 o'clock and got to the airport at 3:45 and had like an 8 o'clock flight. But it's better than Ubering yourself. You know what I mean? It's wild. What a life, though. They got to say they were, hey, I was in this same room that Patrick Mahomes gets dressed at.
Where's the cutoff? So, for example, Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cutoff?
That's a bold call already.
On the players. Well, they're third in Vegas. And by the way, all those fans who are freaking out because Tyreek Hill's gone, they're still third in Vegas. Where's the cutoff on players that get a ring? Obviously, they're not getting the legitimate rings.
I think the practice squad players got legitimate rings.
Sure. And that's fair. Mm-hmm. But when you get past that, if you were cut week 4, say you were on the practice squad for a couple weeks but weren't on the team the entire
time.
That's
an interesting question to ask the guys who were in 19 or whatever. I'll think anyone who was... Well, I don't know.
Because they're not getting... Yeah. Those guys aren't getting the real... They're not getting the real diamonds. Because when I worked for the Sixers, it was a situation where if you won, you have the owners, the players.
And there's the guys in the marketing department.
Marketing department.
And there's the janitors and whatever,
But we're getting like the replica. Basically, it's a replica
It looks like the other one, but it's not with the same materials.
Yes.
So I wonder if you were on the practice squad week 1 of 2019 and got cut and didn't get yo-yoed back up, if you got a Super Bowl ring. I don't know. Interesting question.
Let's try and find someone. I was really hoping you'd have the answer. This was the whole reason you're on the show today.
Well, show's over. Sorry.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think anyone who played a game on the active roster probably got a real ring, but I'm curious about if you spent just a couple of weeks on the practice squad, never on the active roster, and weren't on the end.
Yeah.
I wonder. I don't know.
You know what's more fun? Doing this instead of talking about the Royals, because that is an absolute disaster.
Don't bring them up. It's bad. Well, Baltimore's really good. So.
Well, Baltimore, the powerhouse, and not even John Means. It's not like even they faced John Means and got the L.
Yeah, they are. Baltimore's not trying, correct?
Correct.
They're on record not trying to play, and took 2 out of 3, and you know could have been
pretty handily too.
Could have been a sweep
if Jorge Lopez, of all people, didn't blow a save. And by the way, Jorge Lopez has been incredible for the Orioles this entire season.
Yeah, they're not trying, and it was a messy, bad series because
the rain out.
The rain outs and doubleheader, and then I don't know what did they announce yesterday for the crowd. Let's see, because that game wasn't on the schedule. They announced 9,400. There was about 2,000 people there.
That must be three times the A's.
Yeah, it must be what their season ticket kind of number is. Because the Royals have had a couple of games under 10,000. That's probably their season ticket number. The A's on a
Saturday night.
Weekend. Saturdays aren't bad. They're 14,000 people. But if it's during the week, it's under 3,000 is their announced crowd, which is really, really rough. It was. It's really bad. The Royals aren't trying, or the Orioles aren't trying. The Royals are trying, and to lose 2 out of 3 up there was really, really rough, and especially yesterday, Carlos Hernandez was pretty good.
For 4 innings.
4 innings. And then I am glad they didn't just go pull him when he got into trouble.
They're not coming back anyways. Let him work through some adversity.
I want to see you work through. Now, it's a little counterintuitive to what they've done before. Like the other day when Chris Bubich was terrible, they took him out after a third inning because we're trying to win every game.
Sure.
I would rather not see them try to win every game. I would rather see Chris Bubich work out of the first inning. And I would rather see Carlos Hernandez work out of the fifth inning.
Yeah.
And they didn't allow one to do it because they had just won a game the day before and they were going to try to go do it. But they kind of needed Hernandez to try to work himself out of it. And it wasn't good. But it's got to be a learning experience for him.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll be. But their lineup is just freaking dreadful.
Ryan O'Hearn is batting 4th.
Not anymore. Not today.
Ryan O'Hearn.
Come on now. He's not in the lineup today.
Ryan O'Hearn's slugging is 105. He's making Carlos Santana look like a world beater out here.
You miss Carlos, don't you?
You know it's bad when I'm missing Carlos. I'm not actually missing Carlos Santana, guys. Give me Vinny Pascantino.
Don't hold your breath on that.
Give me Nick Prado once he gets healthy.
Yeah.
Give me you out there because at least it'd be entertaining.
Ryan O'Hearn.
Get Isabel some playing time.
You love analytical stats, next-gen stats, right? His WAR is like minus 0.3,
oh, yeah.
And he's only played in like 8 games.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's literally like putting you or me out there, and there would not be much. It wouldn't be much of a difference.
Whit Merrifield's WAR is minus 1.1 right now.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
That's pretty bad when you're only, if he continued at this pace, it would be like a minus 6 WAR. No one's ever had a WAR that bad.
Mm.
Ever.
135.
That's not
batting
good.
Average. 177 on base.
It's not good.
163 slugging.
Not
so
good.
So it's not even, they're not lucking into home runs.
They're
lucking into singles.
Pretty much. And if you think back, if you went back and charted like every single one of their hits, which people do, but if you went and charted all their hits and remember like the 3 times someone dropped a ball in their glove that Hunter Dozier got a hit for, or a couple little bleeders, you know, that they've had go through. I mean, their hard hit rate is like nothing.
No, we're no longer hearing the, Whit's hitting it hard, but it's right at guys.
No.
Hitting it right at guys.
It's amazing to me that he's as lost as he is. And it's got to be frustrating for a guy who's very competitive.
Sure.
He's been very good.
Yeah.
He's been an all-star level hitter.
Yes.
In his career. And it is not good now. And they've still got a couple years left on him.
But it's not an extreme contract. It was a
it's
I think
friendly.
It was 4 year, $16 million or 4 year, whatever it was. It was not a
large
contract.
Totally team friendly. I mean, it's better than Carlos Santana's contract this year. I mean, he's making $9 or $10 million.
Sure.
Right? I think Witt's deal in a couple of years, it's an $18 million mutual option. I don't see that getting picked up.
No.
No.
They might mutually disagree.
Well, then he gets $500,000 if they don't agree.
Or you can pull a Gil Mesh and just give it back.
No.
Come on, Gil.
That's not going to happen.
That's the most legendary move.
Witt's taking every penny he can get.
No, not Witt. Carlos Santana. That'd be great.
Oh, Carlos. Yeah. I'm not doing that. No. It's not. The Royals are bad. That was a really bad look. You know, Texas isn't some great team either, but I don't expect them to go score a bunch of runs. Then it's Colorado after that. I mean, it is barely May.
Yeah.
And they have lost the interest of everybody for a lot of reasons. Number one, they're not any good.
No.
Okay, number two, there was a lockout. Number three, many people, we've talked about this, can't watch the games because
yep.
they're not older person like you with cable.
Sure.
You know?
I wrote a whole article based around the premise of this season and why it's such a disappointment. The majority of the reason is people weren't expecting a World Series contender.
They were expecting more than this.
People weren't expecting even the playoffs. The goal was to hang around 500 and to play competitive baseball. That was the goal.
The goal was to watch Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich and Brady Singer and Jackson Kowar and Carlos Hernandez get better. And two of them aren't even here. Bubich has had 2 starts that are less than an inning.
Yep.
Hernandez's ERA is over 7 now.
Yep.
And Daniel Lynch is the shining example of what good can be, and it's just not very good.
Yeah. Average.
It's super disappointing because the stated goal for 4 years has been, we're going to go with this core group of young pitchers, and they're going to do it. And now they were very bullish on the fact that all 4 of the drafted players started a game last year, and now 2 of them aren't even here.
Well, that's great.
And one of them shouldn't be. Chris Bubich should not be.
No.
On the major league roster with what he's done.
And I always said, take that with a grain of salt, because you could say that about anything. They could say, well, we started 2 guys from Sports Radio 810.
It was their choice.
It was their choice.
Yes, they started.
They didn't force their hand. It wasn't like
it wasn't happening for the Dodgers.
Sure.
No matter who they drafted in 2018, they weren't all 4 starting for the Dodgers. But the Royals don't have anyone else.
No.
So they brought them up, and not to say they didn't deserve it. Remember, we've talked about this. Jackson Carr was nails.
I mean, he was a .8-something ERA.
He deserved
in
to come
AAA,
up.
Yeah.
But he is not doing great down there right now either. And now Brady Singer, hopefully Brady Singer will go down there and start, and he'll get to come back up and be a productive pitcher for the Royals. But none of these guys look like they're going to be somewhere that's going to be riled up and be in the postseason with.
David Lesky was looking at, I think it was Lesky, at the amount of changeups Singer was throwing in AAA since he got called down, and that's been a big encouraging sign. He's getting more comfortable.
2 a night?
10-plus a night.
Oh,
you know,
wow,
10,
wow.
11. Not saying he's throwing 20-plus, but 10, 11, that's a step in the right direction, like, and using it in different situations.
2 last year, maybe?
Yeah. And this is what's so disappointing. Zach Greinke has been incredible, and Brad Keller has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
They're not winning their starts.
No.
It could be way worse than 9-17. Do you expect Brad Keller to roll out a, what is like, 1-something ERA for the rest of the season?
Probably not.
You think Zach Greinke, with as few of strikeouts, I love Zach Greinke, he's nearly 40. In today's day and age of baseball, if you're not striking guys out, you will eventually get hit hard time and time again, at least a few times. You'll go through some slumps. This is not going to continue with those two guys.
No. But hopefully, it won't continue the other way for the other guys.
Sure.
You know, if everyone comes back to the mean, that's fine. Doesn't matter what's happening with the pitching if you're scoring or running a game.
You can't just have Andrew Benintendi and that's it.
And, you know, Salvi's maybe coming around a little bit, but...
2 hits.
Not really.
Yesterday.
I mean, they went to Baltimore and scored 9 runs, right? They scored 9 runs. So they scored 3 runs a game in Baltimore.
Against
And Baltimore's
Orioles.
No good. So maybe you're excited the fact that they won a game when they only scored 9 runs in a series, I guess, because it could be worse.
They scored 6 that game.
Yeah, only... and it took extra innings to do it.
Yeah.
In 9 innings, they scored even less than that. They have had just very few nights. They had the day they scored 7 against the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
And other than that, it's like, boy, it's like a run, a 2 runs, whatever. They're just not consistently getting like even 4 crappy runs a game. Now, baseball's kind of like that this year. There's not as many home runs, there's all this stuff. But as per usual, they are far below what it should be.
Have you also noticed strikeouts? I have not actually dove into this a whole bunch yet, but strikeouts being down on as a whole, it just feels like there's been more balls put in play. And mm-hmm. I don't know if players are like...
They're putting them in play. They're not going over the fence as much.
Yeah. It's I don't know what to say about it. It's not great. I mean, I understand a lot of people say it's better for baseball because there's more outcomes, and I agree to an extent. Baltimore, obviously, we saw them with that extended...
Yeah, they moved the wall left back. They moved it as a drastic change.
Was it Mountcastle who hit an absolute nuke and it hit off the very top of the wall and came back in?
That's 20 rows deep 2 years ago in Baltimore.
Even in Kauffman, that's probably out.
Oh, that's a wood it dong everywhere, probably.
They did a wood it dong on Twitter. If you don't know what that account is, look it up. It's outstanding.
Maybe the only place that might not, it was so low, it might have been Fenway. Maybe
they said it counted in Fenway. They said it was out in Fenway. It was only Baltimore.
Yeah.
29-30.
Pretty amazing that used to be a easy place to hit a really bad home run.
Well, right field you still can if you get underneath it.
Right. But left field was a bad one because the wall was 7 feet high and it was 100 feet away is all
it
was.
Well, that's what it's – Boston's the same way in right. If you directly in right – I know it goes
out
quick. You got to
really hook it.
It goes out quick because Lorenzo Cain hit one that was, I think, 387 feet or 287 feet.
Yeah,
287. It was out because it just – first row.
Yeah, if you hit one right down the pole, it's there. But that ballpark has changed really drastically with what they moved back. And I hadn't seen a game there until this weekend.
Not watching a lot of Orioles games.
I haven't been watching a lot of Orioles, and I was like, because I was watching the game and someone hit the ball, I'm like, oh, that's goner. And, you know, just caught like 4 feet in front of the warning track. I'm like, oh, you just got to get a new flight pattern on what you expect at Baltimore with what it's going to be. So, yeah, the Royals need to hit the ball over the wall. They need to somehow score some more runs. They've gotten 7 three times, and they're 1-2 in those games. Mm-hmm. So that's bad news. They've gotten 6 once. They won that game, 6-0. That's the day you shouldn't have scored 6, right? They won a 6-4 game, and then it's just like 2-1-1-1-1. They've been shut out 4 times. Shut out 4 times. They've scored 1 run or less 8 times. And one of those was a 10-inning game where they won 1-0. So in 9 innings, they got shut out that day. It's like, it's really embarrassing that's what they've got for offense this year, because it's not supposed to be that bad.
And what I said going into this year was, the offense will be fine. It's the young pitching I was concerned with. I said, the young pitchers, there's so much variance, I have issues with them. Well, I was right with the variance of the young pitchers, but I was not expecting the offense to be this horrendous. It does not matter who the Royals put at the top of the lineup. Whit Merrifield, abysmal.
Yeah.
They tried Nicky Lopez.
Whit's batting 8th tonight.
Yeah, Nicky Lopez was on fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was crushing it.
Yep.
Back to 221. I mean, he can't buy a hit. And then they tried Bobby Witt Jr.
He's going to hit there again tonight.
229, 260 on base percentage. He only has one home run still.
Yeah, 229 is good compared to what it was when he started. Sure. He was batting about 100. He's going the right way. And they're playing him. You know,
and I have no issue.
I gotta play him.
I'm 100% fine with Bobby Witt Jr. This is what you signed up for this year.
Well, they've scored 3 runs or less 16 times, and they've only played 26 games. So if you do that, that would be like they would do that like 90 times this year or 100 times, scoring 3 runs in a game, then they're going to lose a whole lot of baseball games.
Looking at the Orioles lineup right now, they might have 6 to 7 guys that would start on the Royals right now.
Yeah.
This is a team that's not really trying.
No.
This is a team who's bad. You're taking Cedric Mullins. You're taking Trey Mancini. You're taking Anthony Santander. You're taking Austin Hayes and Ryan Mountcastle.
What about Bim Boom. I like the name.
He's not one that's in there.
I like the name.
You might be taking Jorge Mateo. And then you might be taking Rougned Odor.
When is it no longer early? When does not early count for
you? Oh, now.
Now not early?
Once you get past, what are they at?
26 games?
I'd say 25 games for me.
It's not early anymore?
It's no longer. And also, if you start 9-17, when they were 16-9 last year, I go, this is still pretty early.
Right.
Let's still pump the brakes. But when you are this bad this quick, and there's not a positive to take from it. It's not like you're going, well, they're hitting the ball harder. The pitchers look really good.
They're on pace to lose like 105 or 6 games right now.
Yeah.
That's where they are.
This is not early anymore because you can see the trends. There's not one trend I'm looking at that goes, this is a saving grace. I'm saying the Royals almost feel lucky to be 9-17.
Well, they got about 2 weeks to fix it, right? Because if you keep going this direction in 2 weeks, you're going to be really toast. But in 2 weeks, if you played pretty good baseball for a couple of weeks, then you'd be on pace to lose 95 games. And then if you played good baseball again, you'd be on pace to do... But this team doesn't look like a team that's going to win 5 out of 6 even.
No.
I mean, how about 2 out of 3 would be something?
And it has to be when you have Greinke and Keller on the mound. You have to win those starts. I mean, Zach Greinke has to be pissed.
Well, I don't think he cares about anything, but yes, you're right.
You don't think he cares about anything? You don't think he cares at least a minuscule amount?
No, I think he cares, but he's not as driven. Even when he pitched for the Dodgers or the Astros, he's not as driven as Verlander Clayton Kershaw or
something. I think he likes some of his own personal stats. I think that he personally wants to pitch well and maybe cares less about the team aspect of it.
He's a pro. He's an interesting guy, though.
You also have to understand, he could be one of the... Now, for sure, it's not happening. He had a... outside chance of winning 260 games,
mm-hmm.
250 games.
Hard to do that when you can't get
would be
decisions.
Incredible. Well, that's my point. Yeah. Like he had a chance to do something that's not been done in a long, long time. I don't think he was reaching 300 ever. That's over.
No, you'd have
over
to pitch for a long, long time to do that.
In today's Major League Baseball, it ain't happening anymore.
But if you just pitch the middle innings for the Royals, come and pitch
Scott Barlow at
4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. You know. Pick up a cheap win when they score a run in the fifth inning. Maybe a way to steal a win.
Is this what you're going to do from now? If you were the manager, this is what you're doing? Try to get a dude 45 wins, 45 wins a year.
Don't go. They should start with middle relief guys, not even like a closer. Start with...
Get 4 2/3 through a game and then bring in the...
Then bring in Greinke. Yeah. And don't start with your best guy. Just start with a guy. Some random dude. Throw 2 innings. Who's your long guy? Put him out there.
Joel Piamps.
Yeah, put Piamps after we started. Then Greinke, and then your bullpen.
I like something. We're on to something here.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to the game Monday against the White Sox.
I'll be out there working for that one.
Yeah,
it's going to be a little dismal out there. Hopefully they can.
The weather's supposed to be great, though.
Yeah, it's going to be better, but they're going to be coming home. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I don't expect good things in Texas and Colorado. You come home to that one, and oof.
You know, a big reason I went to, I got $20 tickets, really good seats. I love those bullpen, right about the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun. You get to harass the guys. I'm kidding. I don't harass anyone. But it's fun to at least see some of the young guys or see Liam Hendricks warming up, whatever it is. But it also comes with a $15 voucher for beer, food,
beer,
merch. Sure, but I'm going to buy one anyways. So basically, it comes down to $5 tickets to see the White Sox, to see Tim Anderson bat flip all over the Royals.
Maybe the Royals will win.
And then I'm happy.
That'll be a weird day because they've got two the next day, right? I think it's the doubleheader the next day.
On
Tuesday? Scheduled doubleheader.
Yeah, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, it's like a five-game series in 12 hours. Yeah. It's where it's going to be,
yeah.
This team. They were all piled the games up. Then they went 3 days without a game because they were off on Thursday, rain Friday, rain Saturday. Now it's like 19 games in 17 days or something.
I also love the excuse of, well, they have this happening to them, as if no other team in Major League Baseball has this happening to them either.
Oh, the Yankees have a big mess. They got a bunch of rainouts already, too.
But this is my point. Like, every team goes through stretches. I just hate the excuses. I'm tired of the moral victories. I'm sick of hearing after a Royals loss, well, Carlos Hernandez looked good for four innings. That's horrendous. You lost to the Orioles 6-1. You got blown out.
It's not good.
Yeah, I'm tired of it. Let's take a quick break so I can calm down.
Relax.
The home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Again, no Facebook Live. Show is going to be hit and miss this week. We're going to find out. Well, it's a day-to-day situation, okay? It's like I took one on the ribs. We're day-to-day. Lebo is with us, joining us in studio.
Was that the Von Bondies?
Yes, I was just about to ask you that. Surprised you knew that.
I had to look it up. I knew the song.
Oh, so you,
I didn't cheat, but here's why
you
I know
looked
that.
It up.
I couldn't remember the name of who it was, but that was on a PlayStation 2 video game with, it was the jet ski game or something like
SSX
that.
SSX Tricky.
Yes. My son had that video game, and we played that a lot, and I remember that song.
Great song, right?
Yeah, but I didn't remember who sang it, so I looked it up. I knew it was called Come On, Come On. And it just came back to me. I don't think the Von Bondies did much else. They got on that video game.
They had a few songs that I used to listen to when I was younger. They had about five songs. I looked at my
That's like nice little Sterling elementary school.
Middle school.
I'm a ratty little kid.
Middle school, long hair, sixth grade.
Yeah.
I saw them, I think, open up for Weezer, Matt and Kim, and Blink-182.
Where was that?
That was at... Not Sandstone, right?
Was it? I didn't go to that one.
Buzz Beach Ball.
Oh, it was the Buzz Beach Ball. There you go. The Von Bondies, are they still doing it?
I saw the Von Bondies, and I think that's who they opened for, was Matt and Kim and Blink-182 and Weezer.
They formed then. Let's see, the Von Bondies still going? Still putting out the hits? They haven't put anything out in 11 years.
You know who's still going? Simple Plan and Sum 41.
They're out there bringing the angst for the kids.
I'm going to see them next Wednesday.
Where's that going to be?
Uptown, the 18th. Got a bye week in my men's league
what
basketball
was some
game.
41 song called?
Still waiting. Fat Lip.
Fat Lip. That's what I remember.
Simple Plan.
I don't remember. I know the Simple Plan songs maybe, but yeah, that's like your junior
I'm just
high
a
stuff
kid.
Too. Is that what that is?
I'm just a kid and life is a nightmare.
Yeah, that was pretty noisy music for me at that age in my life.
Sure, yeah, you're not listening to Perfect or Addicted.
The Von Bondies was on that SSX Tricky. So that was was it the jet ski game or was that the
that was a snowboarding game. That was snowboarding.
There was another.
They were also on Madden, I think.
There was another. He had two video games. One of them was the snowboarding game, and it had a cool soundtrack on it. It had some cool songs, and the other one was it was like you're driving a jet ski around, and it was kind of dumb. And I knew the Von Bondies were on one of those.
Well, maybe it was the other one. They were also, I think, on Madden.
SSX Tricky. We played a lot of SSX Tricky. But do you think it even looks good anymore?
No chance.
It's pretty cool.
Why don't we bring it into the studio? We could do an hour-long show live streaming it.
I'm pretty sure that got sold at our house, at least.
I have a GameCube somewhere. We could play GameCube, Lebo.
You have it? Does it work?
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to get some. I look it up. It's like nail polish remover. If you get nail polish remover... And if you have trouble at reading the games because you haven't used it in so long, you get that and it cleans up all the gunk. But you got to do about 17 times of pressing it up and down for it to work.
It works, right?
I'm not buying a new one.
Splashdown. Was that the game I was playing? That's what I'm looking up. Was it called Splashdown? Yeah, Rainbow Studios. I think that might have been it. Splashdown video game. Seems about right. PlayStation 2. Yeah, it was, they were driving these jet skis.
So I was back in college for a wedding over the weekend. And as one does after many beers back in their college town.
Play some video games.
You bet someone, or you get into a competition, and there's a liquor called Malort. Now, Malort is some Finnish drink. Swedish. Sorry, Lebo. We talked about it.
I told you, Sweden's better than Finland.
Yeah, it's Swedish. And the label, so the people that created this liquor called it, "Most first-time drinkers of Jepson Malort reject our liquor. Its strong, sharp taste is not for everyone. Our liquor is rugged and unrelenting, even brutal to the palate."
Mm.
"During almost 60 years of distribution, we found only one out of 49 men will drink Malort."
So how much did you have? Just a taste?
Shot. It also goes on to say, "It is not possible to forget our two-fisted liquor. The taste just lingers and lasts seemingly forever. The first shot is hard to swallow. Persevere."
So
that
how much,
is the label.
How much worse is it than like Jägermeister?
Oh, no. Jäger is
10,000 times worse?
Easy. Easy. Have you ever had just go, you know when you go to take out the trash? And mm-hmm. there's just that garbage juice sitting there. Squeeze it into a shot glass, and somehow that tastes better.
Not good?
Oh, and it lingers. It's like,
so is it hot, gross, like spicy?
Not spicy.
Just,
it's almost oily.
So like, what was the alcohol content? Was it just like
80 proof or something
proof
like that?
Or so something like that?
It's not like it's extremely,
it's just disgusting.
Pungent.
So I went to a wedding. Gosh, it's been 15 years or so, and it was a Orthodox Christian wedding. You know, some of these churches are out here off Antioch and whatever.
Sure.
So it's like Eastern Orthodox, so Albanian, you know, think about something like that.
Yeah.
And they had, it was some sort of a plum liquor.
Yeah.
It came in this.
Sounds good, though.
It came in this circle. It wasn't, it was round like a wheel with a, you know, a spout on top of it. And walking out of the wedding on the steps, everyone got a shot. And then you went to the reception and it was just everywhere, this stuff. And it was not tasty, but it's what you did, right? It was part of the deal. And we did that. And somehow, like my parents, I think one of the years, they always have these like themed Christmases, and someone bought a bottle of this stuff. And I still have it in my basement. There's only about 2 inches left in this thing, because it's something where people are over, you know, when we would play some game and sloppy dice, that's shot of that. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Whoever loses, yeah.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's plum and it's gross.
So that's what we're doing.
But
now,
I think this Malort sounds way worse than this, because this is just something you take. Oh, it's like, yeah, but not like.
No, this, it lingers.
You still tasting it?
Surprisingly not. It's finally gone away.
Well, how do you spell it?
Malort. There's an umlaut in there somewhere, because you know.
Malort.
Yeah.
Jepson's Malort.
Yeah, Jepson's Malort. There you go.
Liqueur. So yeah, it's not a liquor. It's a flavored, kind of a little oily. Like if you're having a, you know, any one of those mixers or something. It's got a little sugar to it or something.
So we somewhat talked about it before, what Jason Sudeikis said about this.
Go ahead and say it.
We can't say that on air.
Sure you can. Put different words in it.
Then it wouldn't be what he's saying then. Then I'm taking it out of context.
Known for its bitter taste. That's disgusting.
Yeah. If you're, when the creator says 1 in 49 people will enjoy this.
There's one person like who can't smell a skunk or something. I have a friend who can't smell skunks. So you just have that thing.
Good for him, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. So lucky. Someone would enjoy this because they've got some. My daughter was telling me about this. It's like there's some genetic taste things with people.
And I hate cilantro. I took the 23andMe. Pretty neat. And I don't
you
like find cilantro.
For kids' ears?
Lebo.
23andMe. I'm just
Come
asking.
On.
So my
I'm
daughter
like Madonna.
Says there are people who, like, some people can't even drink like black coffee. It's just too bitter for them. And some people, you know, they taste like water to them. So I'm assuming someone with that kind of genetic taste palate could palate this Malort, and it doesn't taste disgusting. But almost everyone else is like, no, not for me.
I love black coffee.
What would you have mixed this with to make it taste good?
Nothing.
If you had a 64-ounce Mountain Dew and put this in there, would it be okay?
I still think it would rise to the occasion. It would rise to the top.
It's a niche liqueur. Oh, it's a rite of passage drink. Here we go.
Yeah, it apparently it's big in the biker community.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a biker, you're probably sitting here going, I know all about this.
Like we did this hot wing taste thing in here, and there's if you want to try some of this hot sauce, you've seen them in the fridge in there.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever watch...
I love hot sauce.
The hot ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so the eighth one on the hot ones is, the sauce is in there, called the Bomb or something, and they make it here in Kansas City. We didn't totally do our wings in it, but it had 5-6 drops on there, and it was not a flavorful thing that I liked. It was just hot.
Sure.
You know, that's the kind of thing, you're supposed to take that sauce and put 2 drips of that in a whole pot of chili.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to douse a wing in it. So I'm thinking maybe Malort, if you were making a big punch or something, like a witch's brew, maybe...
You're an ass if you put that in the
punch.
No,
if you put, like, not a whole bottle of it, but you put 4 ounces in there.
What's that doing, though? But what's that going to do for anyone?
Well, what does one little bit of a nutmeg do? I don't know. They always say, oh, you know, it's for flavor. It's for color. What's paprika even do? Paprika does nothing, right? You just put it on the deviled egg to make it look better. This is like the devil's paprika.
But now I know what to do when people lose a challenge. I'm going to buy some Malort.
Buy a Malort. Have it around. If you're playing a game at home, sloppy dice, take a shot.
If you lose in golf.
Or if you mess up, like you're playing a card game and someone tosses out a turn or misdeals or something
you're
like that.
You're a big card guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
All your references have been about cards.
Well, that's we had a one. This is a bad one. We had a rough, long... Back when New Year's Day was fun, and they had like 6 football games.
When you were younger?
Instead of 4 football games. They've ruined New Year's Day. I love the college football playoff, but now the college football playoff, if it's not on New Year's Day, New Year's Day stinks. It's just, oh, here's a bowl. And they don't put 2 in a row or at the same time. And it used to be a fun night, but we had a long New Year's Day one time, and some guys in my crew were going through some stuff, and we were playing... I don't remember what game we were playing, but you rolled dice on this game. It might have been left, right, center. I don't know, whatever it was.
Oh, left, right, good game.
There was some rolling of dice. It wasn't even that because it wasn't a drinking game. But if you rolled the dice and there were sloppy dice, what we had was we had a good sense tray of food and salads and stuff. And
sounds like a great party. Well, salads.
Well, it was good sense, and the salad came with it.
I love good sense, by the way.
So. If you sloppy diced, you had to eat a crouton. And the croutons had all been soaked now with pickle juice because of the tray had all gotten together, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like you had a crouton and a slot of slow gin. Have you ever had slow gin? Slow gin is something like if you were a girl when I was in college, you would drink slow gin and Sprite. It was like it's just a dark kind of a liqueur.
Is it horrible is what I'm getting?
Nah, it's not horrible. It's not gross.
Then how is this?
It's not like Malort, but it's not something that a 45-year-old guy would just take a shot of, especially to wash a pickle-soaked crouton down.
But by the way, I love pickles. I feel like I'm
You'd have been throwing dice on the ground. The party tray had been out for 12 hours.
Well, did you ever rip picklebacks?
So these were, it was, you had to take a pickle, you had a crouton, soak the pickle juice, and a shot of slow gin, and that was going to make you from messing your I think it was dice or playing, whatever it was. But we still talk about that night because I was like, and I still have some slow gin. Because you know what? You don't go through a lot of slow gin.
What about cold gin by Kiss?
Cold gin?
You could have listened to cold gin by Kiss while you were playing.
Keep your gin in the freezer.
There you go.
Make it cold. So, yeah, you know, you always got to have something gross for people to shoot in a game.
This, I feel like, is a predominantly guy thing. Like, well, if I ask my girlfriend and say, you know, when you lose a game with your friends, do you make them do something stupid? She'd be like, no, why?
No,
and
no.
Guys are just sitting here like, dude, what's the nastiest thing we can find?
We have another game that's it's called the horse racing game. It's actually a thing you buy. Have you ever seen this thing?
Well, we used to play horse races.
This looks like a horse track. It's an actual wooden horse track.
We play it
a
little different.
It's got little horses that go in these little holes in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a horse that's a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 12.
Yeah.
So when you roll dice, snake eyes, you move the 2 horse, and you only have to roll snake eyes like 3 times for the horse to win because you can only roll snake eyes.
Sure.
Odds, right? 7 is the most common number, so it takes like 13 sevens to get around the track. So we play that on someone's bar, and there's like 10 people playing, you get sloppy dice. And that's when something comes out. Now, what I got to do is get some Malort because having a shot of something tasty.
See, people, you're welcome, guys. Yes. This is what I'm here for. I'm here.
Give me a good idea.
I'm giving you bad ideas that are good ideas.
This sounds, when the maker themselves say this is one out of 45, enjoy it. That's a really bad drink.
49.
One out of 49?
49. You know what's somehow.
2%. Less than 2%.
You know what the Royals drink of choice should be?
Malort.
Malort. 1 in 49 enjoy watching our baseball.
1 in 49 can stomach this.
Take a quick break. Come back to Home Stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the Home Stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, and no Facebook Live. Lebo with us for the last couple minutes. Again, for the rest of this week, it'll be a day-to-day situation, kind of like Kyle Lowry. But Kyle Lowry's out against the Heat tonight, so 76ers, they need
it's not a must win because it's not an elimination game, but it's about a must win, man.
The must win moniker.
If you can win a game 5 on the road in any series, I bet if you go back and look at people who win game 5s on the road, they almost always win the series.
And Embiid with the black, what's it, Phantom of the Opera mask on.
You like it?
He's awesome. It works.
Yeah.
He looks intense.
Game 5s are huge because, well, if you're down 3-1, you lose game 5, it's over, right? And if you're 2-2 in a series, going up 3-2 by winning a road game, monster. Monster.
Did you see Al Horford just dominate last night?
Crazy.
35 years old.
By the way,
Beards brought up a good point. He's only good in green. Any other of his stops, you could say maybe the Hawks a little bit because he was fine for a time with Atlanta. Sixers, horrendous. Oklahoma City, horrendous. All of a sudden comes back to Boston and becomes like he's 23 in his prime. It makes no sense.
Yeah. You had a nice night. You can't depend on that, but is what it is. You need to have those sometimes.
He blew by Giannis and mean mugged him.
You can't always depend on your stars
to
be the people who carry you through. You got to have a night when someone pops up. You're like, where'd that come from?
Like the Sixers with James Harden. You can't just count on him, but, you know, every once in a while.
How's he looking?
Old.
Thin.
Old.
Gaunt.
Like he's eaten 17, like he's gone to Jim's Cheesesteaks, gone to Lorenzo's Pizza on 3rd and South,
he
got the cheesesteak.
He went to Jim's and Gino's.
Dumped it on.
All of it.
No, Gino's, come on. He
went to both.
You don't go to Gino's and Pat's. You're talking crazy right now.
He went to both.
He went to Ishkabibbles, probably. Ishkabibbles is fantastic. Don't you dare come at me with the cheesesteak talk.
I'm just saying.
I'll throw hands, Lebo, over this.
He ate them all.
This is the Home Stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM. Thank you to Todd Lebo. I am Sterling Holmes. We are out.